would say that we should know something about everything. You understand? Something about everything. In other words, a devotee, if someone asks them, for example, you know, what year is this? A devotee shouldn't say, I don't know. I've just been reading Prabhupada's book so much. You know, last year, I actually checked. It was like 1971 when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. What day of the week is it? Well, how many days are there in the week? So, you know, can you imagine? And sometimes devotees are like that. You know, they'll be on Sankirtan, the person will say, you know, what do you think about World War III? It just happened. And the devotee said, I didn't know World War III just happened. I thought there was just fireworks going off. So, anyway, so there has to be knowledge of the material world as well as the spiritual world in order. That's what the Isopanishad teaches us. And, of course, the spiritual world, obviously, so we can get attached to Krishna. So, a Brahmana, he likes to cultivate knowledge. Not simply for the sake of knowledge, but for self-realization. Therefore, you have these qualities listed in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita about what it means to be a Brahmana. And these are motive goodness qualities. And of course, the first one is sama. Sama means being equal poise, like sama darshi, seeing equally. Not only equal poise in happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, whatever, summer and winter seasons, heartbeat, the equal poise in the season right now. It's pretty cold. So, anyway, so, but it being equal poise insofar as dealing with people. Like Krishna is also equal poised. He says in the Gita, same word, samaham, sarvabhuteshu, nami dvesho, stina priyaha. He said, I'm equal to everyone. No one's a friend to me, no one's an enemy. Like that. So we should be like that, equal. And of course, reciprocate with people as Krishna does. Krishna, even though Krishna is equal, he says, yetamam prapajantetam sadaiva pajamiham. As someone reciprocates with me, I reciprocate with him. So, sama is very important, just to be equal to it. Dhamma. Dhamma is actually maybe even more important. Dhamma means being self-controlled. And the opposite of that is adhamma, or as Prahlad Maharaj says in the Bhagavad Gita, adhambhago vir vishatam dhamishram. He says that those who are not self-controlled, those who cannot control their senses and their mind, he says they're just simply engaged in fruitless activities, fruitless repetitive activities, which he describes as chewing the already chewed. And they enter into ignorance. Anyway, he's saying this, it's interesting, he's saying this to his father. Imagine giving that instruction to his father. Dear Dad, Matirna Krishna Padatavas Vatova Madhobitpadeva. He says, because you have actually taken a vow of sense gratification, Matirna Krishna. You don't want Krishna because, obviously, because he killed your brother. I can emphasize with Rani Kashyapu, because if someone killed my brother, I'd be pretty angry with him. Sometimes, actually, it's interesting. With devotees, sometimes one of their loved ones will die and they get angry at Krishna because of that. So it's the same thing as Rani Kashyapu consciousness. So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that Matirna Krishna, so because you don't want Krishna, then even if you have good association or, you know, try on your own, you'll never be Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada said in one class, he said he's assuring his father that don't worry, you won't be Krishna conscious. Because his father is worried here's my son becoming Christian. What's going to happen to me? And so he says, Dad, don't worry. There's no way you're going to become Krishna conscious because you're completely against Krishna. And don't worry, Dad, you're simply going to be chewing the chewed. Trying to enjoy his body. Anyway, so that's a dhamma. One has to control the senses. How do you control the senses? It's hard. Control the senses by Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti. Okay, by engaging the senses in Krishna's service. Sama dhamma, tapa. And the next quality of a Brahmin is austerity, tapa. Actually, that's basically the first word spoken in this universe. Isn't it? Lord Brahma was meditating, trying to figure out how to do things. And then the first thing, instruction he gets from his Guru Maharaj. He didn't have a choice for Guru Maharaj. Not that he went around looking for the right guru. So he only had, there was only one guru at that time. And anyway, so he heard tapa. And so tapa basically means the cause of pain. Anyway, I'm not going to give that direct definition right now. To act against one's material, because it's a little painful sometimes, to act against one's material inclinations, physical inclinations, mental inclinations, to serve Krishna. Because our natural inclination is just to be absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I mean, if you just like take away whatever intelligence we have, then we become like the monkeys. I mean, human beings have the ability to be more than monkeys. That's like with monkeys. We see a lot of monkeys. I'm not talking about anybody here in particular. I'm talking about in Vrindavan. We were talking to one devotee yesterday who just came back from Vrindavan. She said, I really love the monkeys. And then I'm thinking, huh? What's wrong with her? I said, did the monkey try to steal your glasses? Yes, but that was cute. Well, I have never found it cute when monkeys steal my glasses. That is not cute. Anyway, but the monkeys, what they're engaged in is, they see another monkey, a female monkey or male monkey, and they go for it, they fight the monkeys. You see the monkeys, sometimes they're missing legs because the other monkey bit their leg off, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And the worst thing is when you go to Vrindavan, don't walk under a tree where a monkey is, because they're so mischievous they'll pass urine on your head. They do that sometimes. So, so we have higher intelligence, so we're meant, just to really, I wouldn't say cause pain like the word tapa means, but just like go against some natural or unnatural impulses that we have in the body. And that includes anger, like vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, buddha rapasya vegam. We have these impulses, these pushings, that vacho, the talking, vegam, pushing them, the talking. Manasa, the mind is there. Krodha, anger. Jiva. Jiva vegam, udarpada, belly, the genitals, I mean, they're all just pushing us, and you just say no. No! And the mind, too. Manasa. You beat the mind, like Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur said, with a stick, with the shoes every day. Like that. Don't do it literally, because that may cause you a concussion. So you beat the mind, shoes, and you no, I'm going to serve Krishna. That's tapa. Someone thought about shocha. And then cleanliness. Cleanliness is part of being in the mode of goodness. If everything's neat and clean, the mind's very peaceful. And if the body's clean, then you're less likely to get sick. Prabhupada said disease is caused by different factors. Uncleanliness and anxiety, like that these are causes of disease. So, and actually, yeah, mental states, they actually are a big cause of disease. So, anyway, shalom, and then, of course, Prabhupada said one should be clean internally as well as externally. Internally, by always yakshmaret pundurikaksham, by always remembering the lotus-eyed Lord, and externally by bathing, keeping everything clean, cleaning your cloth every day. And then tolerance, shantir, arjamam, honesty, evacha. And then cultivating knowledge, we mentioned before, of both the spiritual realm and the material realm, yanam vijnanam, and practicing what you've learned. Astikyam, Brahma Karma Svabhavajam. So these are the qualities of a Brahman. So how does one attain these qualities of a Brahman? There's the long process. Actually, I wanted to talk about the long process, and this is the short process. And I have a note on the long process here in case you want to follow it. So this, we're going to talk about... Actually, we advocate the... short process, not the long process. But the long process is something that was performed by Visvamitra Muni. So here's the story of Visvamitra Muni, a little story to entertain you. Once upon a time, Visvamitra Muni wanted to become a Brahmin. And he was a Kshatriya in the mode of passion. So I'm not going to tell you why he wanted to become a Brahmin. Because actually, I'll tell you why. He wanted to defeat Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni had defeated him and killed his children and everything like that through his mystic powers. So what happened is that Vishwamitra became very depressed. He began to execute many severe austerities, not having anything to do with Krishna. And he got weapons from Lord Shiva and other demigods like that, and he attacked the ashram of Visvamitra Muni, attacked the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni was able to counteract all the weapons of Visvamitra Muni with his brahminical staff. So Visvamitra Muni decided, I need to execute more austerity, so he went to South India and became a vegan. And he only ate raw food. It's true, this is what's described in the different literatures, Vedic literatures. That's why I'm a vegan. So when he began to perform austerities in Pushkara. Pushkara is the place of Lord Brahma, the only place where Lord Brahma is worshipped in Kali Yuga. And then he was blessed to become a Rajarshi, not quite a Brahmin at that point. He became more depressed. I mean, this is taking place over hundreds or thousands of years, in becoming a Brahmin. So this is not what we're advocating, but at least we're telling you about the long process. And then he was approached by this person, Trishanku, who wanted to go to heaven. He was a king. He wanted to go to heaven in his same body. And this Trishanku had been cursed by Vasishtha Muni, or rejected by Vasishtha Muni, and cursed by Vasishtha Muni's sons to become a malacha, which is even worse. Malacha means the mode of ignorance, basically. And so then he went, Trishanku went to Visvamitra, and Visvamitra performed a sacrifice to send him to heaven in his malacha body. And what happened, the demigods didn't want that. They sent him back down, and then Visvamitra sent him back up, and he was bouncing back and forth, and finally Visvamitra had to establish an artificial second heavenly planet so this guy could enjoy himself while he was hanging upside down. I don't know how you can enjoy yourself when you're hanging upside down, but anyway. So he was struggling, you know, and by doing this stuff in the mode of passion, because this was actually the mode of passion, he kept losing his position in attaining the brahminical status. So then he began to perform more austerities in Pushkara, thinking, I want to be a Brahmin. And as I described before, he was still a raw vegan. And then a bird passed stool on his head. And that happens, you know, when you're chanting under a tree, all of a sudden you'll feel blah. It's happened to me. And so it does. I mean, birds don't have any control over themselves. You can't train a bird like you can train a dog. So then he cursed the bird, and he burnt the bird to ashes with his mystic power, and he lost his Brahminical status then. Then he had more fights with Vishwamitra, with Vasishtha Muni, and he lost his Brahminical status even more. And anyway, there's so many stories. Then he performed more austerities, and Menaka came after 1,000 years. Menaka is the Heavenly Society girl. And he had an attraction to her, and as a result, Shakuntala was born. He still couldn't become a Brahmin. Then he meditated after another 1,000 years, and Ramba came, another Heavenly Society girl, to trick him. And he didn't fall down with her, but he got so angry, he just, you know, made her. Actually, it's described several different stories. One is, he cursed to become a stone for 1,000 years. In other stories, he burned her. In other stories, she became disincarnate. But anyway, he cursed her. And then he lost his Brahminical status. And then for 1,000 more years, he executed austerity. And Indra tested him, asking him for food when he was getting ready to break his fast. And he just remained cool. And then he was finally blessed with becoming a Brahmin. So that's the long process. Does anyone want to follow that long process? It's not very easy to follow that particularly long process. So the short process of becoming a Brahmin, because remember, he was a Kshatriya before, which is probably a higher status than most of us were before we joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. I can say I was not a Kshatriya. I was not, before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, a Vaishya. I was not a Shudra before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. I was a Malecha. And so, I don't know, maybe some of you were not Malechas, but most of us were Malechas. And so, by the mercy of Prabhupada, I'm here today, you know, somehow or other sitting on the seat, pretending to be a devotee. So, our process is Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Pelotas, Deva, Desteva's name, Desteva, Kathiranyata. Taking shelter of Krishna's names and serving those who are on a higher status of life. For example, whatever Krishna consciousness or whatever Brahminical qualities I have are coming from associating with Srila Prabhupada. Because when you associate with someone, the qualities of that person rub off on you. Like Krishna says in the Gita, I mean, it's about the material qualities, karanam guna sangasya sadasa janmajonisya, that we're entangled in this world because of guna sangha. So if we have sadhu sangha, that is sadhu sangha, sarvasastra koi, lavamantra sadhu sangha, sarvasini hoi, then even little association with the sadhu, such as Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, can bring us to the Brahminical platform. Just a little association. And if we try on our own through mental speculation or austerities like Vishwamitra Muni, it may take many lifetimes, and, you know, thousands of births or whatever. So it's better we associate with Prabhupada. So we associate with Prabhupada by hearing about Prabhupada, by following Prabhupada's directions in Krishna consciousness. And one thing I want to add, the purpose of Brahminical initiation is to serve Prabhupada's mission. Not that one finds a way to make money by being a Brahmin, by doing sacrifices. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan. Dana pratigraha, you know, traditionally a Brahmin would make money by doing sacrifices, by teaching. By giving charity, accepting charity, etc. So the purpose of becoming a Brahmin is to actually serve Prabhupada's mission. So the devotee who's taking Brahminical initiation today is taking so she can serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada, particularly an almanac's guard, which has the panchatattva there too. This little panchatattva. This small. We are better. We have a big panchatattva. No, not really. Actually, The deities are not dependent upon the size of it. Then you get more mercy by getting a big deity. Otherwise, we would get Panchatattva that's 50 meters high. That was more mercy. Sometimes you go into South India, you take a tour of South India, and you see they have deities of Hanuman, or statues of Hanuman, that are like 40 or 50 meters high. Seriously. As high as this building. When you enter into a village, you see this giant Hanuman there. It's pretty ecstatic. Of course, Prabhupada didn't want us to have statues or deities outside, because the same reason Vishwamitra Muni got upset with the bird. Because the birds passed stool on the statues or the deities. Prabhupada commented that in Calcutta there are statues of different political leaders, and Prabhupada said once a year the municipal sweeper comes up and sweeps off the bird stool off the statue. So that's the purpose of second initiation in ISKCON, is to actually serve the deities, to do deity worship. I mean, just to take second initiation to be proud or something like that. That's called Brahma Bandhu. It's interesting. It's interesting. I just read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, that Hiranyakashipu called Sanda and Amarka Brahma Bandhus. Do you know why? Because he was thinking that they were teaching Prahlad Maharaj about Vaishnavism. So he insulted them. He said, "You're Brahma Bandhus, you're not real Brahmins. Because you're not teaching them about demoniac things like you should be." So if one wants to be a real Brahmin, then one has to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada somehow or other. That's the purpose. And everybody who takes second initiation should do some deity service. It should not be simply done by one person in the temple. Everybody should do this. Prabhupada said that everybody should do at least some deity service once a week. In one of our temples, in Temple of North Carolina, we have the congregation doing a lot of the deity worship. They come on different days and do deity worship. They may be married, they may have kids, but one day a week, they come, they wake up early, they go to Mangalarti, they dress the deities in the morning, or they cook for the Sunday feast. It's a very nice cooperative atmosphere. So this is second initiation, this is brahminical initiation, and one is promising at this initiation, as in all initiations, including sannyasa initiation, or whatever, some skara is being performed to serve Krishna. Okay, so we'll continue with the initiation ceremony.